Jerry mentioned a prepared message, and it actually is that this morning. Often when you go visiting in a community, if you're a preacher, you halfway know that you might preach, and you are somewhat prepared to share leftovers, something that you preached at home. And leftovers are good, depending on what they are. Lasagna is better the second time you eat it than it is the first time that you eat it. But Jerry called, or he texted maybe even more than a week ago, and asked if I would preach this morning here. And my mind went in that direction, that yes, I would be willing to do that, and I will find something that I've preached at home or somewhere else recently, and I'll use that. And I didn't feel at liberty to do that. I had something in mind to preach at home sometime coming up in the future, and a passage rolling around in my mind, and when I tried to go in one direction, I was brought back in this other direction. So that would give me to think that there is someone here today who needs to hear something out of Luke chapter 15. So if you will turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, we're going to look there. It was more work for me this way, but I think it's what I ought to have done. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three stories, and I saw there were a bunch of children here, and you children, I hope to make this something that you can listen to as well. Jesus tells three stories in Luke 15. And the stories are about three things that got lost. And I wonder if you have ever lost anything. Do you have something that you own? Something that you have? There's a fellow that's lost something. What did you ever lose? He lost his BB gun. That's a pretty bad loss, indeed. You've all lost something, haven't you? Somewhere along the way. When I was a little boy, about the size of this little boy right here, I lost something that I thought was pretty terrible, that I lost it. We lived in Pennsylvania, and my grandparents had two farms, and I spent most of my summers on those farms. And on the one farm, I particularly enjoyed spending time there because if you would walk in the fields on the farm, you could find lots of arrowheads. It wasn't really even that hard to find them, particularly in the spring after the fields were plowed and it rained. If you walked the fields, you would find arrowheads, things from Indians. And this particular thing, I hadn't found it in the spring. It was actually in the fall after corn was picked. I was walking in the field looking for arrowheads, and I found a stone, and it was about this big around, as I remember it, and it was some sort of bluish-gray stone. I wouldn't at that time have known what kind of stone it was, and I don't remember anymore. But I knew right away what it was from reading books about Indians. It was the type of stone they used to start fires. On both sides of the stone, it had a circular, like a divot in the stone. And they would take this stone and put a stick there and a stone on top, and they would turn this stick around and put little pieces of bark and dry grass. And the friction of the stick going around in that groove in the stone would get hot, and then they would use it to start fire. And I was very proud of this. I had never found one of those before, and for a while I kept it in my room. But I like to hide things. I would hide the treasures that I found and draw a little treasure map, and then I could go dig them up later. And I decided to hide my stone. And I took it to the woods, and I was going to hide it. And I had a shovel, I think, along, and the ground was hard, and there were roots, and it was difficult to dig. So I saw a groundhog hole, and I thought, I will hide it in the groundhog hole. I slid it down in the groundhog hole, and a couple days later I came back to get it, and it was not there anymore. It was not up on the ground. I think the groundhog took it down in his hole with him. And I was sorely disappointed. I killed that groundhog for stealing my stone, but it did not get me my stone back. And to this day, I thought about it the other week when we were at my grandmother's farm. I can go to within about 10 feet of where that thing is, but it's under the ground somewhere in the woods, and I don't know how to get it back. I lost it. Scripture talks about three lost things in Luke chapter 15. Each one is different, and I think each one is a picture of something. Luke chapter 15, let's go down to about verse 3. And remember, Jesus is telling three stories. So as I read these verses, in your mind, you kind of count off till you get to three things that were lost. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost till he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, and saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise there shall be in heaven, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which was lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Jesus told three stories about three things that were lost. What was the first thing that was lost that Jesus told us about? There was a lost sheep. Animals are not all the same. Some animals are smarter than other animals are. I never in my life had sheep. I had goats, but not sheep. But I am told that sheep are not very smart animals. A cat is a very smart animal. A lot of men don't like cats. It's because the cats are smarter than they are. But cats are very smart animals. You can take a cat and take it away from its home. That cat has a pretty good chance of finding its way back home. When I grew up, I learned a little song, The Cat Came Back. The very next day, the cat came back and it wouldn't go away. Cats can find their way home. There was a man and a lady named Jacob and Bonnie Richter. About 4 years ago, they went on vacation about 200 miles from their house, and they took their cat along. And I guess they were maybe camping or whatever in the summertime and watching some fireworks. And when the fireworks were going off, it was loud and there were flashes of light, and their cat got scared and it ran away. And the next day they were to go home, and they looked all over for their cat. They called for their cat and searched for their cat, and they could not find their cat. And with great sadness, they left and went back home. 63 days later, the cat walked in the house. It had covered 200 miles and lost half of its weight and worn its foot pads down. But the cat came home from 200 miles away. Cats are smart. Sheep are not smart. Sheep will wander away. Sheep will get lost. And sheep are helpless creatures. This story that Jesus told, he said there was a man, and this man had 100 sheep. 99 of those sheep were safe. They were in a place where they were not in danger. He knew where they were. But he had one sheep that was missing. And he cared about the one sheep that was missing. He didn't just neglect the 99. They were left in the fold. So it's not a sense of the one that is lost is the most important thing in the world, and the 99 don't mean anything. The good shepherd cared for the 99. They were in a safe place, and because they were in a safe place and would be taken care of, he went and he looked for the one that was gone. In Luke here, it says that this sheep was lost in the wilderness. And that word for the wilderness, it is actually the word for lonely. The sheep was in a lonely place. It was in a place where it was by itself and there was no one else around. This same story, Jesus probably told these stories lots of different times, but in Matthew chapter 18, I think it is, Jesus tells this story about one sheep being lost and the shepherd went out to find the one sheep. That time that Jesus told the story, he said that the sheep was up in the mountains. So it was in a lonely place, it was in a desolate place, it was in a dangerous place, it was far away from where other people were, it was not safe. The good shepherd went to find it. Jesus is pictured as the good shepherd in Scripture. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 10. There are some verses there that are worth looking at. They give us a picture of the type of person that Jesus is. He is the good shepherd. John chapter 10, and go down to verse 7. What type of person is the good shepherd? John chapter 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. That means I'm like the gate at the sheepfold. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. For the sheep did not hear them, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and have known of mine. Jesus is the good shepherd. He says, I am the protector for these sheep. I'm like the door on your house. I'm the gate on the pen. And I keep the sheep in, and I keep dangerous things out. That's how I work. That's what I do every day. I'm protecting my sheep. I care about them. He says, not everybody cares about my sheep. There are people that it doesn't matter one way or the other if the sheep are there or the sheep are gone. But he said, I'm the good shepherd. I care. And that's why the good shepherd took care that his 99 were safe. But he was a good shepherd. He noticed that 1 out of 100 was gone. In the Old Testament, there's a place where it talks about the Israelites and the tithe. And they were to tithe on everything that passed under the rod. Their interpretation of that was, that relates exactly to a custom we can understand. We have sheepfolds, and in the daytime we take our sheep out to graze, and in the evenings we bring them back into the pen. And how do you keep track of sheep? How do you know if they all came back or not? Well, you have to count them. You have a little opening in the fence, and that's where the gate is, and they're all trying to come in the evening, and you're trying to count them, and the shepherd would lay his staff across the opening, and then every time a head went by, he would count. You know, you'd kind of be watching a certain spot, and when people go by, you can count them if you've got, I'm watching that corner, and everyone who comes by, there goes Clayton, there goes the next one, 1, 2, 3, 4, and they would count their sheep. He evidently counted his sheep, and he found out he got to 99, and there were supposed to be 100. Well, what time of day was it when he was counting his sheep? It was in the evening. So that means it was getting dark. So he locked up the 99, safe as he could, and in the dark, he went to the lonely place, and he went to the desolate place, he went to the mountain to find the one that did not come back. That says something about God. God is not content to have 99% of people go to heaven. God wants everyone to go to heaven. And when there is one that God knows is not going to heaven, God cares about that. And he goes to a great extent to go find the one. Now, not everyone will go to heaven, but it is comforting to know that the God who is deciding cared about the fact that there's just one missing. And even though it's going to be hard on me and very inconvenient, and I'm going to have to send someone to a very lonely place, I'm going to do it for the sake of the one. I wonder if the sheep that was lost is not a picture of the person who is in the world without Christ. And Jesus cares about them, and God sent his son to a very lonely place to find the one that was not there. Jesus went on, he told a second story. He told a story about a lady who lost something. And do any of the children remember what she lost? She lost a piece of silver. And actually in the Greek, it gives a little better picture. In English, it says a piece of silver, or maybe your Bible would say a piece of money. But the word there is a drachma. She had 10 drachmas, and she lost a drachma. They had different kinds of money that they used. They didn't have dollar bills. They had coins. But they had Roman coins, and they had Greek coins, and they had a few Jewish coins. The Jewish coins were like the dimes and nickels, not the very valuable coins. But for more expensive things, they had Roman coins and Greek coins. Roman coins were denarius. That was the kind of like our dollar. A Greek coin was a drachma. The drachma was actually better than the denarius. Drachmas were made out of silver. And actually the drachmas, they had such a good reputation, the Greek drachmas, that you could only pay your temple tax in drachmas. So that's kind of strange. The Jewish temple would only accept Greek money, not Jewish money. But you had to pay in Greek drachmas. If you were, you know, a head of a household, you had to pay in a Greek drachma, your temple tax, because that was pure silver, as pure as it could be gotten. This lady had managed to save 10 drachmas in her lifetime. It was a lot of money because a drachma was about the equivalent of a Roman denarius. A denarius was, it fluctuated over time, but it was, the rule of thumb is that a denarius was worth a day's wages for a common laborer. So those of you who are in business and you have hired help, you know, not the guy that owns the business, not your foreman, you know, who has a very, maybe been with you for a long time and a very valuable employee, but the type of person you would hire to work for you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, how much do they make in Abbeville in 2016 for a day's work? About. What would you say one of your guys makes about Elvin in a day? About $110. Okay, well, that gives us something to compare by. She had 10 drachmas saved up. Each one was worth a little more than $100. This lady had about $1,000 in her little piggy bank or wherever she was storing it in the house. That's a lot of money, isn't it? She lost one drachma. She still had 9, but she lost one, and she knew she had lost it. So she lost about $100. How many of you ladies here, if you had 10 $100 bills squirreled away at home for something you were saving for, and you got them out to count them or look at them, and one of your $100 bills was not there, would that matter to you? If $100 was missing, it mattered to this woman. And that's kind of an interesting thing in this story. She still had 9 of the 10. But the person to whom that coin belonged, it mattered to them that this one was gone. And it mattered enough that she did something. It actually says she did two things. Look down at the passage there in Luke 11. She did two different things to find the one that was gone. She got a light because, you know, their houses didn't have as many windows as ours do. They didn't have electric lights. She got a candle or she got a little oil lamp, and she was going all around with the light. And it says that she swept. Most likely their house had a dirt floor in it, and it was probably a hard-packed dirt floor, but still things accumulate on a dirt floor just like they do on your floors at home. She swept. She searched diligently for the one coin that was lost. I thought for you children I would give you something to do, so I hid a coin. It's not in this room, but it's somewhere in this building here. It is a Roman pholos. It has a Roman emperor on the back, on the front, and a gladiator and a captive on the back. It's about 1,800 years old. And if you can find it, you can have it. It's in a corner of this place. Somewhere. It's not worth what hers was worth, because hers was made out of silver. But she cared about the one that she lost. She searched for it with light, and then she swept the house out. And she did end up finding it, and she was very happy about finding it. What is light a picture of in Scripture? God's Word, and Jesus himself. A couple of verses, for sake of time, we won't turn to all of these, but you listen to what the Bible says about light. She had to go get a light to find this coin that was lost. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Jesus came to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And in John 8, Jesus said this. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. Why don't you turn your Bibles to John chapter 1 and look at something John the Baptist John chapter 1, I'm sorry, not John the Baptist, the Apostle John said, John chapter 1, go down to verse 5. Scripture just told us that a light was going to come into the world. And this light was going to save people from sin and from darkness. Jesus said, I am that light. Here I am. I am the light that was promised. John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's how it says it in my Bible. Your Bible might say it a little bit different. I never really understood that phrase, the darkness comprehended it not. Till you go back and you look in the Greek, and what does that word Greek for comprehended means? It means something that every family and every child can understand. When you grew up, as you were growing up as a child, whether it was in your family or at school, at recess, I hope, or in the youth group, you would look at another child and you would make a decision in your head. You would decide if you could take them down or not. And you would look at Clayton and you would say, no, I don't think I can, so I'm not going to try. Or you might look at someone else and you'd say, yeah, I think I can. I think if I catch Andy just right, I can take him down. That's what this word that's translated comprehended in the King James means. Take it down. So the light came into the world, and the light was Jesus. And when he came into the world, the darkness looked at him, and the darkness said, I'm going to take him down. And the scripture says that the darkness could not take down the light. There was a clash. There was a confrontation. The darkness tried to take down the light, and it could not do it. That's a source of hope for the one that is lost. That there is a battle between lightness and dark in life, and that battle is over man's soul, over a woman's soul. And you need to know that the darkness cannot take down the light unless you go help the darkness. Left to themselves, the darkness and the light will win. It's important to note in this story, where was that coin the whole time? Out in the marketplace somewhere? Was it out in the woods? That coin was lost, and it was thoroughly lost, and it was within the walls of the house. It was in the house. I wonder if this story doesn't represent the fact that there are people who are in the church and they are lost. They are in the church sitting with everyone else, singing with everyone else, talking like everyone else, trying to put on an outside that is like everyone else, but they are thoroughly lost people. How do you find lost people in a church? Application of light and some sweeping. What is the light? The light is God's Word, quite obviously. So, because it might be the case sometime today, well, it might be today or it might be in the future, there might be lost people in your church. You better have lots of this in your church. Because this is the only way that will ever be found and they will ever be helped, is if there's lots of light used. And sometimes you might have to have a thorough sweeping out. And sometimes a thorough sweeping out is a lot of work. But it's important to find the lost. There's a third type of lost, a third story. There is the lost that is in the world. And I think that's the picture of the sheep that's out there that Jesus cares about and will go get. There is the lost that might be sitting here today that Jesus does care about. and His Holy Spirit and God's Word works to find them. And then there's a third story that Jesus told, and that is what we commonly call the parable of the prodigal son. We won't have time today to go there, but think about the son. The son was raised in the family, like the others. He knew right from wrong. He made his own choices in life, and he left. I wonder if the lost son isn't a picture of the lost from the church. They were here. They were part of your church brotherhood. They were in a Bible-believing church. They were raised to know the Lord. They knew the Lord, but they have made choices to go somewhere and to walk away from God. And the fact that they once knew does nothing for them now, because now they are lost. If you have a lost family member, someone that you love and care about, and one time they were here, we'll say, or they were in the church, but they have made the choice to walk away from God, that's a burden on your heart. That is hard on you. You probably think about it a lot. Just take comfort that there is a Father who is forevermore watching for the ones that left and wanting them to come back. He's watching and he's waiting, and when they come, he's welcoming. And I think also, I think we could say he is working. That lost son who left, he experienced some pretty hard things in life. Because you know, the world is a pretty hard place. And we grow up insulated from it. We know the world is bad, but we don't really know how bad it is until maybe you do foster care and you see what it is for people who never were taught, and they have made sinful choice after sinful choice after sinful choice, and you get a picture of how bad the world actually is. Well, those people who leave the truth, they run into the reality of what the world is, and it's a hard thing in their life. Sometimes well-meaning people come along behind them and try to bail them out forevermore of the things that God is bringing into their life to try to turn them around, because the Father cares. And sometimes he shows his care by breaking them down and letting them see just how ugly is the world that you want to live in. You could always come back here where it is different. Closing, turn to Matthew chapter 18 and go to verse 14. Matthew 18 and verse 14. Whether the lost is in the world or in the church or lost from the church, God is love. And you can't say it or sing it better than God says it himself. In verse 14 of Matthew 18, it says, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." It is not the will of God that anyone should perish, whether they are the lost in the world, the lost in the church, or the lost from the church. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, we thank you for the overwhelming picture of your love. People who go against you in our own lives, our disobedience, selfishness, worldliness in our hearts. I pray, Father, that we would feel your love, respond to your love. There's someone here, Lord, who is lost in the church, that they would feel your love and the call of your Spirit. Bless this church as they seek to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.